And moving on to the new initiative, we'll ask Hina and Kinga to come join us. Next, they're going to talk about the new CRP Education and Training Core and some of the thoughts they've had at this preliminary stage, knowing they're a few months away from funding, but raring to go.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kinga Aiken. I'm from University of Utah, and this is my colleague Hina. She is from University of Iowa, and we are delighted, we are humbled and excited to be trusted with leading this new effort with the CRP Education and Training Corps. So basically, why was this core needed? We have faced major instability in the clinical trial workforce in the past probably 3 to 4 years. COVID-19 was a major factor, but there were several other factors. So we identified an acute need for streamlined training for new coordinators, integration in the StrokeNet community, as well as providing career development and retaining them, making them happy with their jobs. So also, there was a need to identify potential challenges and find solutions for them. So, since you.
And so why so this was all came about because of the request for funding announcement that we all applied for. So we kind of had similar language that was shown earlier today as well, but these are some excerpts from the FOA that we all applied for to reapply to be a RCC for StrokeNet. And so I just wanted to highlight that this was one of the initiatives that NIH wanted to see was to have this education core for coordinators.
The CRP Education Corps will be dedicated to onboarding new coordinators, continuing education and retention of research staff of all levels. And this will include coordinators, manager, grant administrators, and other research staff. It will mirror the existing fellow corps, and it will leverage institutional CTSA resources. So the first order of business was to establish a corps. That we are very, very happy that people said yes to us. So I would like to present everyone, and I would like for them to just stand up and wave to everyone. So we have Tammy Davis from Alabama. Jason from Pittsburgh. We have Crystal Schmidt from Wake Forest. May have left. We have Abby from Minnesota. Dave from Case Western. Karen from UCSD. Then we also have Laura. Thank you for helping us think through these things. We have Amy Solkin. Jennifer Golan. Kelly Beasley and Christine Gonzalez, who will be our administrator from University of Cincinnati. So we try to assemble a team of newer and more seasoned managers, folks who also double as site coordinators, NCC leadership directors, regulatory and project managers. So we have folks with all sorts of different experiences. So hopefully we can be of service.
And so the objectives of our CRP Corps. So the NCC, along with the Fellow Education Corps, they helped to develop some training checklists. And that's what I'll go into a little bit greater detail with you guys in just a second. And then we have a couple more bullets that Kinga will get to talk to you guys about in just a minute. But the domains that we're looking at, so we have both coordinator training guidance that we're going to create, as well as for RCC managers. And so our big domains are going to be looking at general research training that we can provide. So whether it's about GCP or how to do consenting, IATA, which is a certification we need when we ship samples, HIPAA training. So these are kind of like the general research stuff that we all need to know. And then stroke-related training. So this is really important. I mean, that's kind of how we're going to get our coordinators to be a little bit more invested in StrokeNet, is if they understand the clinical aspect of stroke and how we're treating the patients, and then blending back the research with it. So having some training sessions about neuroanatomy, stroke localizations, vascular imaging, the different scales that we use, the different types of strokes that we have, and just many more. And then NIH StrokeNet specific training. So what are our StrokeNet SOPs? And Laura's been leading those sessions during our monthly webinars that we've been having with the RCC managers and coordinators. Some training on WebDCU, which I do have to say is probably one of the best EDCs that is out there. I've told Catherine Dillon this before, but really, it truly is one of the best. So we're very lucky to have this within StrokeNet. And then what Karen was talking about earlier today with the e-consenting with REDCap. So that's another thing that we'll make sure to have some additional training and guidance on and having some mock sessions. And then if there's trial-specific training that needs to be provided, kind of having a one-page, like this is where you go, and then you find the info, click, and I'll take you to the next page that you need to be at. And then as the RCC manager, we also do a few additional things. So some of us might also be coordinators, but as an RCC manager, we help our PIs with site management. And so it's kind of helpful for newer RCC managers to know, okay, what is our role as an RCC manager? And so how do we manage our sites? We do help our PIs with the financial management of our RCCs, and this can also include our yearly RPPRs that we have to do. So hopefully we'll have some more guidance and training on this to help our coordinators and managers going forward.
Okay, so as Hina mentioned, the NCC created a checklist with assistance from the fellow training corps, and we also, it's separated by coordinators and RCC managers. The website is actively being reorganized for improved accessibility. We will have an initial needs assessment to basically figure out what are the needs at each individual site to best serve this core. And we will revisit that on an ongoing basis. Initially, Hina and I were thinking that we may need to meet on a bi-monthly basis with our core members, and then that may be reduced to once a month as we move forward. And eventually, we would like to integrate this seamlessly into the already existing monthly RCC manager/coordinator meetings. And we want to definitely develop a mentoring program. We talked to everybody in the lunch hour, and everybody seems to be very supportive of having that one-on-one interaction and that feedback. Whether you're a manager or a coordinator, it's helpful to have somebody to talk to. And now I'm turning to the PIs, because we got to talk to our coordinator colleagues, and we would like to know, how do you see this this core, and what do you feel it would be most beneficial for your research staff?
This is your chance.
And what support do you feel like you can provide to your managers and coordinators?
Is there anything that we haven't talked about today that you think is something that we should keep in mind as we develop this core and the training for our team? Or have we hit all the topics?
Are we that good?
You are that good. But so Brad Worrell from the University of Virginia. I guess one thing that I would wonder is the opportunity for new coordinators versus current coordinators, and how you're going to differentiate that. You know, one of the things about the StrokeNet Fellow Program is it's a new group every year. And so in some ways things can be reiterated year by year because they're different people, whereas you're going to be dealing, ideally, if this works, with a pool of very similar people year by year. So just curious how you're thinking about that.
Yes, that's a very good question. And ideally, we would want to be relevant to everybody at all different stages. We were thinking about continuing education credits, a career development ladder, if you will. If you have been doing research coordination for a year and a half or longer, then maybe that's the stage where you meet with your mentor and you can consider SOCRA or another professional organization to get certified with them. And we were thinking about different, we just don't want to just do webinars where we talk to people, although we will have those available that can be referenced on an as-needed basis, but we want to have maybe updated short one-page reference manuals or to-do lists, if you will, that can be used by new coordinators as well as seasoned coordinators. And that, again, we will be working very closely with Laura to kind of build on the existing checklist and not duplicate, rather add to that.
Right.
Would you like to add?
And just to add too, we're not replacing your RCC manager. So the RCC managers for each RCC, they're still responsible for helping to train their coordinators, but we want to make sure that we have provided everyone the tools that they need to do that. So hopefully once we have this revamped website, have all the materials, it'll make the life of the RCC manager easier as well. So they have everything at their fingertips of how to better educate their new coordinators. And then we're all here too. So do we just want to create a better community, a better family, if you want, to kind of make everybody feel welcome to be a part of it. So, yeah.
No, Hina, I'm glad you brought that up. And please do come to the mic if you have questions. I was just thinking about the mentoring, and I think it's worth kind of maybe restating that. There's no doubt that, you know, the direct mentorship happens at your own institutions, but there is such value, and we get this at all different levels in our careers from outside mentors, somebody who doesn't have that same stake in it and can kind of give you an objective sense about, you know, whether your PI is being reasonable, whether it's time for a promotion, whether it's time for you to learn a skill you don't have, right? Is that what you all are
right.
thinking too?
Yes, exactly. Yes. And, you know, even just today during our lunch, we learned so many more new tips and tricks that we hadn't known before. So this is always an ongoing evolving thing that hopefully will just continue to improve year by year.
Yes. And we have to, you know, think out of the box and come up with clever new ideas to keep everybody engaged and happy with their job and with their work. And whether you're at an academic medical center, whether you're at a rural hospital with lack of resources, we just want to be making sure that everybody's needs are met.
I am Eva Mistry from Cincinnati. Thank you, Kinga and Hina, and the entire Corps, really, for this wonderful initiative. I just wondered if there was a plan, and maybe there already is, for you to interact with the DEI Corps to provide resources to coordinators in recruiting and retaining diverse participants and kind of cultural humility. I know for one of our studies, we're doing a half-day training, certificate training for that. They're available. I just wondered if you have interacted with them. You probably have. I just want to put out there.
We haven't yet, but this is great feedback. So yeah, we definitely want to work with the DEI Corps as well as with the Fellowship Corps as well. So yeah, thank you for that suggestion. This is great.
I've been wanting something like that at the University of Utah for a long time. So I'm very excited.
Just one more comment. I think coming out of COVID and, you know, kudos really to all coordinators who really held it together during COVID. It was so horrible, so tough. And the fact that you're here and resilient is fantastic. But one of the things that we're seeing is that there really is more need for good debriefings, for a lot of sort of, how to handle stress. Mm-hmm. I'm sure actually everyone in the room could use that. But the whole focus on mindfulness. So there was really a lot of development of modules and other ways to sort of enhance mindfulness and decrease stress. And I'm wondering if you guys are thinking about putting that into play.
I actually thought about that just because I had a situation at my own institution last week. So that just kind of led me to think that that may be a very good thing to incorporate into this group. So I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, but yes.
Yeah. And I actually did attend Dr. Kleindorfer's presentation she gave It was phenomenal. So I think like that work-life balance, that is something that we all need to hear and just kind of see how to make life work. So yeah, these are great suggestions of things to bring back into the course. Yeah, thank you guys.
Just one comment as well, Marcel Roche, University of Pittsburgh. I just wanted to speak to the third point that you guys brought up before. How can the RCCPIs provide or contribute to and support their managers and coordinators? One thing we actually talked about at dinner yesterday at our table was the ability of PIs and coordinators to work together to support coordinators actually to publish scholarly work under abstract format or so on about best practices of what they do. For example, e-consent, what Abby and Chris were talking about earlier, things of that nature. I think that would be very important engagement of our managers and coordinators. So,
absolutely, yes.
Hi, I'm Yasmin Aziz, I'm from Cincinnati. I just had a few ideas kind of to build off of what everybody else was saying. So first of all, Stacey Demwell actually at our institution is kind of putting together a little workshop, I think a 4 or 5 part series workshop on how to be a site PI. And so I think that would probably be a good idea for our trainees, but also if you guys could play a role in that too, if that were something that you would consider.
Yes, we discussed writing out and clearly identifying roles of a PI versus the roles of a manager versus the roles of a coordinator and how they work together, as well as how to best communicate with your PI to get what you need from them and vice versa.
Perfect, thanks.
You know, you go ahead, not me.
Drew Rico from UVA. I just wanted to kind of piggyback on off of all this as one of the big things that we have kind of recognized at our site of what really works is ultimately us CRCs, we want to be capable professionals at the end of the day. We're delegated these tasks. So having that that ability to operate independently where it's appropriate, obviously, is one of the best ways that PIs can really support the CRC team, especially because the more that they can operate independently and work in a collegial aspect with the PIs, you know, be able to work on things independently, know when they need to contact their PIs and escalate issues. Right. That really allows for things to flow more fluidly, especially as we're pushing towards, you know, these pragmatic trials, pushing towards these broader trials in general to ensure as things are going by, you have the ability to get the answers that you need.
Absolutely, I agree.
Kinga, Hina, there was a comment in the chat I wanted to share about AE reporting from Stephanie McLaren, general guidelines for trials, but also working with PMs at the onset of the trial to identify what events are expected and then how the site can plan to efficiently report. So that was a special interest.
Yes, absolutely. We did talk about that. It's very important to know, especially as a new coordinator, let's say, it's very important to be able to identify something that's reportable, what's reportable per trial guidelines. And yes, absolutely, we plan on working on that. Well, thank you so much. These are all very, very good points, and we took note of all of them. We just have a couple closing thoughts. Basically, the overall goal, just as I stated earlier, is to provide meaningful content, not just as a webinar, but different forms of meaningful content to research staff at all levels, whether that's a writing group or easy lists that help you identify what needs to be done at the exact time. We will make sure that everybody feels empowered and confident in doing their job. We want to provide a safe space to share ideas, fuel enthusiasm and motivation. And we think that if we do this right, then this will further support the StrokeNet mission. Thank you.
Thank you. Huge thanks, Kinga, Hina. Huge thanks for taking on this initiative. It's really meaningful to the network, and we're so fortunate to have you take it on.